నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. హరే కృష్ణ. వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 8 చాప్టర్ 5 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ అపీల్ టు ది లార్డ్ ఫర్ ప్రొటెక్షన్. టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 28. అజస్య చక్రం త్వజయేయమానాం మనోమయం పంచదశారమాశు రీనాభి విద్యుత్ చలమష్టనేమి యదక్షమాహు స్మృతం ప్రబద్ధే. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of a mental chariot. The 10 senses, 5 for working and 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life airs within the body form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, are its center of activities, and the 8 ingredients of nature, namely earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence and false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus, the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub or central support. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul and the ultimate truth, we offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. The cycle of repeated birth and death is figuratively described herein as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, text number 5. Apareyam itasvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. The entire world is going on because the living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is utilizing the material energy. Under the clutches of material energy, the Jivatma is revolving on the wheel of birth and death, under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The central point is the Super Soul, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text number 61. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam ఋద్దేశే అర్జున తిష్టతి బ్రాహ్మయన్ సర్వభూతాని యంత్రారూఢాని మాయయా. ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ఈజ్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీవన్స్ హార్ట్ ఓ అర్జున, అండ్ ఈజ్ డైరెక్టింగ్ ద వండరింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ హూ ఆర్ సీటెడ్ యాజ్ ఆన్ ఎ మషీన్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ ద మెటీరియల్ ఎనర్జీ. ద మెటీరియల్ బాడీ ఆఫ్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ ఇస్ ద రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద కండిషన్ సోల్స్ యాక్టివిటీస్, అండ్ బికాస్ ద సపోర్టర్ ఇస్ ద సూపర్ సోల్ is the true reality. Every one of us therefore should offer respectful obeisances to this central reality. One should not be misguided by the activities of this material world and forget the central point, the absolute truth. That is the instruction given here by Lord Brahma.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya చక్షురుమిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః.
ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు సీ గ్రీటింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ డివోటీస్ అసెంబ్ల్డ్ హియర్ టుడే. వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ఫిఫ్త్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద భాగవతం 8th క్యాంటో ఎంటైటిల్ డెమిగాడ్స్ అపీల్ టు ది లార్డ్ ఫర్ ప్రొటెక్షన్. ఎస్పెషలీ దిస్ ప్రేయర్స్ which are offered by Brahma to the Supreme Lord. I would like to give a brief summary of what, you know, these prayers, why Brahma is offering these prayers also. The context here is Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Shukdev Goswami starts narrating from the 5th chapter onwards of how the fifth Manu, and then he describes that how the Supreme Lord appeared in the 9th verse In the sixth Manvantara, Lord Vishnu, the master of the universe, appeared in his partial expansion. He was begotten by Vairaja in the womb of his wife, Devas Sambhuti, and his name was Ajita. And Sukadev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj that by churning the ocean of milk, Ajita produced nectar for the demigods in the form of a tortoise. He moved here and there, carrying on his back the great mountain known as Mandara. So now what happened was, because Parikshit Maharaj is just hearing all the narrations of all the detailed the fifth Manu, and then when he spoke about the Supreme Lord appearing and producing nectar for the demigods, immediately here we see the eagerness of Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit Maharaj was eagerly hearing the narration spoken by Sukadev Goswami. We can clearly hear from the next verse what Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring. Parikshit Maharaj inquires, "O great Brahmana Sukadev Goswami, why and how did Lord Vishnu churn the ocean of milk?" The first question he asked. Why did he churn? For what reason did he stain the water as a tortoise and held up Mandara mountain? How did the demigods obtain the nectar? And what other things were produced from the churning of the ocean? Kindly describe all these wonderful activities of the Lord. So he is so very eager to know the wonderful activities of the Lord. This is the quality of a devotee. He is so eager to hear the activities of the Lord, because he knows all of the Lord's activities are wonderful in nature. Especially, we go on to, in future verses, how Sukadev Goswami narrates that what was the reason behind the Supreme Lord Ajita taking up the task of churning the ocean of milk himself. And that is also, we may discuss in future verses, coming chapters, that the Supreme Lord himself can take the task, because he doesn't need to have the demigods churn the milk or the demons churn the milk, but he himself takes the task of churning the ocean of milk. That is for his own pleasure pastime. And that is how we can discuss today in the Srimad Bhagavatam and speak his glories. So herein we see that the demigods are lost by the demons and also because of the curse of Durvasmani. Durvasmani had cursed the demigods because Indra had dishonored Durvasmani by taking his garland and giving it to his elephant Airavat. Airavat crushed it under his leg, and that is how Durvasmani was angry and he cursed the demigods to be bereft of their spiritual, of their material opulence. So here we see clearly that after the demigods were defeated by the demons, they had no shelter to go other than Brahmaji, because Brahmaji, who is the supremeost, in the material world, whom to take shelter of for the demigods. So they approach Brahmaji. So here we see Brahmaji here, he knows where to go. So he immediately approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we see Brahmaji is going on the ocean of milk, wherein the island which is Shvetadip. Shvetadip, he comes and offers prayers to the Supreme Lord. So these are the prayers which we are reading since previous verses we have heard. So this is one of the prayers wherein Brahmaji is telling about how one should not be misguided by the activities of this material world and forget the central point, the absolute truth. Especially when I was going through the verse, especially this verse is so very, especially it is describing about the wheel actually. A wheel wherein it has many spokes and there is a rim of a wheel and then there is a central point and how the wheel is moving, because this is something related to, some machine actually. So here we see it's very difficult to understand if you just go through the verse and, this is how it is. The Supreme Lord is as a super soul, he is taking care of, the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub or the central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But how do we understand practically in application that this verse, how do we understand it, to practically apply and understand what is the Supreme Lord, how it, this rim and, this wheel and the spokes, the 10 senses, especially Srila Prabhupada very, very nicely, immediately he refers to the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, the 61st verse, wherein Krishna himself is declaring this body which is like a machine, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, Riddesha Arjuna Tishtati, Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani, Yantra Rudani Maya. So here it is the mention of Yantra. Yantra means the machine, again comes here, wherein Krishna is personally telling that the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. So especially, this is the machine which is given to us by the material nature, and the super soul within our heart is guiding us. Especially, he is fulfilling all our desires. Obviously, not all complete all of the desires. He is completing those desires, fulfilling those desires which are which will help us come closer to him. But at the same time, sometimes when we are going against his desires, then he will the path which we go, for example, then we go towards sinful activities. But again and again, he, through the sufferings of material nature, he brings us closer and closer to him. So especially, I was going through the purport of 61st verse. Srila Prabhupada states in there very beautifully that how the material nature gives us this body. He gives this example of a car. There are two types of cars. Prabhupada is very beautifully stating about this. Two types of cars are there in the analogy, that one is a very fast moving car and the other one is a very slow moving car. The fast moving car, naturally the driver sitting in the car is the same. If you see, if the car is a very fast moving car, naturally if you put the accelerator and the car runs like anything, faster than the slower car. So similarly, Prabhupada is stating very clearly that Krishna, the super soul within the heart, he monitors each and every desire within our heart, and accordingly, through the material nature, he gives us a particular type of body to fulfill all our desires. So accordingly, whatever bodies we have got is according to our previous desires. So herein we clearly see Krishna is always guiding us, always helping us, so that all our desires are fulfilled. But at the same time, he is also bringing us more and more closer to him. In this regard, especially for devotees, how do we understand that Krishna within our heart, especially as Paramatma, how does he guide for a devotee? This question naturally arises, because since I am practicing now in devotional service, what will be my destination? So herein Prabhupada states that the Supreme Lord, this Paramatma within the heart, directly guides the particular devotee who is eagerly wanting to come to him, closer to him. Especially in the 10th chapter, Krishna is stating, Jnana Dhipena Bhasvata, that Krishna within our heart, he will guide us how to come closer to him. In fact, I would like to read out a very beautiful statement of Srila Prabhupada from the 10th chapter. This is very beautiful. Especially we were reciting this Damodar Ashtakam, that only by pure devotion service one can conquer the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada, many times we have heard in Prabhupada classes also, that Krishna is ready to be conquered. Go and conquer Krishna. Prabhupada is saying, conquer Krishna. Krishna is ready to be conquered. Only thing is, we have to go and just go and go forward to conquer him. So in this regard, the same thing in the 10th canto, text number 11, herein, I'll just read out very beautiful point. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotion service is the Supreme Truth, Krishna, pleased, and by his inconceivable energy, he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. Tadiyeshi tagyeshu bhakter jitatvam. Very nicely, Satyavrata Muni is stating here that, Krishna is won only by... He is saying clearly, if you read the translation, that Krishna is pleased only with his devotees, pure devotees whose heart is imbued with intimacy, not awe and reverence. He can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. So if you all want to be connected to Krishna, Krishna himself is saying here clearly, only by devotional service, pure devotional service, we can be completely connected to Krishna. Especially for the pure devotees, the Paramatma is guiding them every moment. we might say that, you know, why is it that, you know, I don't know how to act? Because many questions may rise, you know, in our lives, that how do I act now? What should I do now? But if you are connected to Krishna directly in the form of Paramatma, Krishna actually, for a pure devotee, he always guides him, always. If you see, when we come in touch with a devotee of the Lord, we can come to know through him so many things which we can do, especially through Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. We can come to know that what is right for me and what is wrong for me, especially at this point of time. Even without his presence, even with his through his looks or through his glances or through so many other devotees, we can come to know what is to be done for us, especially in the form of super soul. But for pure devotee, Krishna is especially empowering every moment, especially if you see in that statement how Krishna is personally situated in the heart of the devotee and personally dispels all the ignorance within his heart and guides him to do whatever is right for it. So for us, as Prabhupada always said, that we all have to endeavor to be a pure devotee so that we can have what you call assess Krishna in what he wants to do. Because many times, whenever Paramatma wants to speak to us, whenever Krishna wants to speak to us through the heart, what we say is, no. I don't want to follow my own mind's demands. I want to follow what I want to do. And that is how, what happens? That is how Krishna then again says, okay, no problem. Then again, he doesn't interfere. He says, okay, this is your desire, okay. But actually, for a pure devotee, he is always subservient to the will of the Lord. And the Lord is subservient to the will of his devotees. That is how the reciprocation goes on between devotees and Krishna. Especially, herein we were speaking about Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Actually, I was going through the 62nd verse also, the 18th chapter. And Prabhupada is saying in this translation of the 62nd verse, O Siena Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Especially, Prabhupada is clearly stated in this purport that Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead and the supreme abode of all living entities, not only because of his personal experience, but because of the evidence of great authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasa. Now, Arjuna, in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, herein we see clearly at the end of 18th chapter, when we see these verses, we can clearly understand that Arjuna was perplexed and he didn't know what to do. He was saying, I won't fight. And then Krishna, in the end of 18th chapter now, almost he's on the 60th verse, 59th verse, he's saying, now I have given you all the instructions and now you do what is supposed to be done. And in fact, he's saying in the 61st verse, before 60th verse also, 61st verse, the line series, is clearly stating that because material nature has given you this body of a kshatriya, you are bound to behave like a kshatriya. Don't think that you are not bound to behave. By going to a forest, you will not be like a kshatriya. You are bound to behave and you will work according to your nature which you have got. So what are you supposed to do? Then obviously after 60th, 61st verse, he is saying that because the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, he is working, the living entity is working like a machine guided by the material energy. And the next verse, Krishna is saying, because herein we have to understand what Brahmaji, through Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand, what we can learn today, at least, which I saw personally, that Krishna, he is speaking in the Brahman realization, the knowledge of Brahman to Arjuna, speaking about Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, and then later he is speaking about this understanding of super soul, and then the 62nd verse, Krishna speaks on, 62nd, 63rd and 64th, Krishna speaks on understanding of the Bhagavan realization. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji maam namaskar, mamai vaishyasi satyamte, tati jani piyasi. Especially Krishna is speaking on how you should surrender to him completely. Even at this point of time, where we have come here till now, Brahmaji is offering prayers to the Supreme Lord as the super soul. And in future verses, when we see after offering of prayers in the next chapter, the Supreme Lord personally appears to him and then he starts offering prayers. So, when one understands Brahman realization and Paramatma realization, it is incomplete. ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति भगवान इति शब्द थे. द अल्टीमेट रियलाइजेशन प्रभुपाद ऑलवेज स्ट्रेसेस इज द भगवान रिलेशन ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. एंड इन दिस रिगार्ड वी नो क्लियरली दैट when we speak of Bhagwan, the personality, because when we speak of super soul, naturally, we always say that the super soul resides in the heart. But when we speak of Bhagwan, then what comes? Then comes his own abode, then comes his own paraphernalia, then comes his pastimes, then comes his, you know, devotees, associates. So, one should understand that when we speak of Bhagwan relation, it comprises everything, which is highest. And in this regard, I would like to narrate a very beautiful story from Krishna book, actually. You all might be knowing it, but just for Govardhan Puja is coming, and this pastime is after Govardhan Puja, which has happened in the pastime of Varun, who is taking Nanda Maharaj away. And after that, how Krishna reveals the abode, his entire abode. So we would like to hear, especially because this is regard to understanding the Supreme Lord as Bhagwan and his entire abode. So this pastime, especially in this pastime, Nanda Maharaj is inquired, actually this was regarding Govardhan Puja. After the Govardhan Puja was done, Indra was very angry, and he, you know, sent Samvartaka to destroy the entire village of Vrindavan. But he couldn't do anything. So somehow, because of Krishna's inconceivable, you know, energy and his own mercy shown to his devotees, fulfilling many of his desires, you know, crushing the pride of Indra and fulfilling the desires of his devotees, Krishna lifted the Govardhan. So for 7 days and seven nights, Krishna lifted the Govardhan. And later on, 2 days later, there was a Ekadashi. So Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajvasis, especially after the Govardhan was lifted and Krishna put the Govardhan down, and all of them assembled together, and they started asking Nanda Maharaj, "Oh, Nanda Maharaj, your son is so amazing. He's so amazing. You know, he just lifted the Govardhan, and you know, we were staying for 7 days and seven nights. It was so amazing." So then Nanda Maharaj started saying, "No, you don't need to be surprised. Actually, I remember Garga Muni. He was saying me during the name giving ceremony. What he was saying that Krishna, when he was giving, he was speaking about the name giving ceremony. Krishna, this boy, is not an ordinary boy." Garga Muni is saying, "Who is he? He will remove all of your obstacles, in Vrindavan, whatever will be in your family and in around Vrindavan, whatever obstacles you will have." And then he says, "He is Narayana Saman." He also said that he is as good as Narayan. So he is reminding the Vrajvasis, because Krishna is performing these uncommon activities, which are not common to anyone, not common for an ordinary personality. So he is saying that this is how we should not understand Krishna to be, you know, an ordinary boy. And so they understood that, you know, oh, Nanda Maharaj is saying this. So next day, immediately, 2 days later, there was Ekadashi, and Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajvasis performed this fast very strictly. And after Ekadashi, there was this Dwadashi, wherein we break the fast. During the fast breaking time, Nanda Maharaj enters the Yamuna. Especially when he enters Yamuna, because that is the time when he strictly follows the time of, you know, the Ekadashi Paran time. But actually, that time is also the time when the sun is not at horizon. And according to the time calculations of Varuna, also that is not the right time. And somehow or other, Nanda Maharaj, you know, when he enters along with other cowherd boys, not that Nanda Maharaj is alone, Nanda Maharaj goes inside and takes a dip. And all the cowherd boys are also there, but they see that Nanda Maharaj is not there. After the dip, Nanda Maharaj is not, they immediately start shouting, you know, Krishna's names, you know, because they don't know anybody else other than Krishna and Balaram. Krishna, Rama, Krishna, Rama, they are calling out. And Nanda Maharaj, in the meanwhile, the servant of Varuna, he takes Nanda Maharaj to Varun Dev. And therein, as soon as Varun, he sees Nanda Maharaj, immediately comes to know, by the bodily features of Nanda Maharaj, he comes to know that this is not an ordinary personality. This is definitely Krishna's father, none other than Nanda Maharaj. So therein, when he sees, he immediately brings Nanda Maharaj and makes him sit on his own palace, he makes him sit on a throne. And we see herein, all the coward boys, elderly coward boys, coward men, they start calling out to Krishna, and Krishna comes, Krishna, Balaram, because he is the Supreme Lord, you know, sitting in everyone's heart as well as everywhere. He immediately comes there, and when he comes there, he tells Balaram, especially, Balaram, you please remain here, because, you know, at the time when I was, you know, subduing Kaliya, because Balaram was always standing there and laughing, he was smiling actually, and relieving the fears of all the Vrajavasis. Because the Vrajavasis were with so much anxiety when they saw Krishna, that actually they were, you know, about to lose their lives. But when they saw Balaram smiling, you know, with his very hand folding and smiling, they were understanding that there's not going to be much danger, you know. So again he said, you just stand here, wait here outside on the banks, and I will go and bring Nanda Maharaj. So immediately Balaram just stood outside the banks and he was smiling, and Krishna went in. Immediately, as soon as Krishna went in, all the coward boys, you know, his own friends, all the coward men, the gopis, elderly gopis, and, you know, Radharani and all the other gopis, they started crying out loudly. Nanda Maharaj, you know, went inside, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he personally went inside, and this time, you know, because Krishna is angry naturally because his own father is being taken away by Varuna. So his anger is seen naturally when someone is angry. How do you see his anger? In their, you know, eyes. So Krishna's eyes became very red hot, like, you know, red hot iron, red, you know, completely red in anger. And Varundev knew that, you know, somehow Krishna is going to come very soon. So immediately what Varundev came, immediately he came where Krishna is going to come, because he knew where, you know, immediately he came along with his associates and was waiting there eagerly for Krishna's, you know, coming. So as soon as Krishna came in, immediately he fell down flat on the ground and started offering prayers. He said, Krishna, please forgive me, you know, my servant, he didn't know that, you know, it was your, you know, it was your father, it was your father, please forgive me. Actually the servant's offenses are actually the master's offenses. Whenever the servant does any offense, the master is actually to be blamed. So please forgive me. I am actually, you know, to be blamed. Please forgive me. And he also said, because he knew that Krishna is in a very angry mood, he will not be pacified with my prayers. But when he sees Nanda Maharaj, then naturally he will be pacified. So immediately he said, look, Nanda Maharaj is sitting there very peacefully. Just see. And he is just sitting there. And immediately Krishna sees Nanda Maharaj and then he is very pacified, very quiet. Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, very peacefully he sits. He becomes calm, and then Varuna, he in the meanwhile, he takes Krishna towards Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj, in the meanwhile, what has happened is Nanda Maharaj doesn't even know that he has come to Varuna, because his eyes are closed. And what is he remembering? He is speaking with his eyes closed, because he has just taken a dip. He has just taken a dip in Yamuna and he is breaking his fast. He's just taken his dip and he's just remembering, oh Krishna, he's such a beautiful boy. Just now he lifted Govardhan. Just now, for 7 days and seven nights he lifted Govardhan. And then all the coward boys, they were so happy. Then Krishna, my dear Krishna, Yashoda Mai worries so much for him. She sends lunch boxes for him every hour. And then he says, all the coward boys, they love him so much. With his eyes closed, he's remembering all the pastimes of beautiful, you know, Krishna. And he's speaking and speaking and speaking. And Krishna is seeing his father's love for him, you know, pouring out. And Krishna, as soon as he sees his father, he comes right in front of his father. Nanda Maharaj's eyes are closed. He's sitting on a asan, very beautiful. And Krishna comes right in front of him and just, you know, puts his hand on the shoulder of Nanda Maharaj with a very loving, son's affection. And he says, Father, I have come, Father. Immediately, you see, Nanda Maharaj, he is remembering Krishna, he is speaking about Krishna, he is remembering all the pastimes. As soon as he opens his eyes, he is seeing Krishna. So Krishna, with his merciful glance, he is looking at his father, and Varundev is witnessing the love of Nanda Maharaj for Krishna, and Krishna's love for Nanda Maharaj. And then Krishna says, Father, let us go back to Yamuna again, back to Yamuna. And then, you know, Nanda Maharaj comes to know where I am, you know, he doesn't know where I am, you know. Then Varundev starts offering prayers to Krishna, and then he comes to know that, you know, Varuna, actually I am here in Varuna's abode. And then Varuna says, oh Krishna, please, you know. Then he puts a red carpet, you know, so that Nanda Maharaj and Krishna can go back again. So Krishna says, please put your lotus feet, he tells his father, please let us go back. So then both of them together, they go back to Yamuna. And as soon as Nanda Maharaj comes out, immediately all the common men come and embrace Nanda Maharaj. And the boys come and embrace Krishna and they start, glorifying Krishna like anything. So this is a very festive mood again. And the next day again, after the Dwadashi, the Trayodashi comes, and this is the time when all the covered men again assemble and they ask Nanda Maharaj. It's a natural question, because when something has happened, they always used to ask Nanda Maharaj, what has happened? What has happened? Nanda Maharaj, So Nanda Maharaj starts saying, actually when I went inside, Varuna was there inside and he was offering prayers to Krishna. And then they asked, what happened more? Then he started narrating how it looks about all the palace and all that. And then he says, then they realize it's quite natural that Nanda Maharaj has already spoken about Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, non-different from Narayan. And then they understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But their love was, as we heard, Tadiyeshu Tadgeshu Bhaktar Jitatma. That their love was above all and reverence. Although they knew Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but their love overpowered that conception. And that is how they always treated Krishna as a coward boy only, and as an ordinary coward boy. But still within their heart, because they were also very simple coward boys and, men and women. So they always had this desire that what will be our destination when we leave? What will be our destination? So Krishna knew, because Krishna is sitting in the heart as a super soul. So what will be our destination? Krishna immediately, he wanted to fulfill their desire. He wanted to show them what will be their destination. And that we read in that same chapter of Varuna, when Varuna took him. And same chapter next, we see what happens. Krishna takes them to the same place where Akrura was shown the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. If you remember, that is when Akrura comes to take Krishna back, and then Krishna and Balram are seated on the chariot and Akrura is taking bath. And then he sees Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and the Sheshanag, Krishna and Balram. He sees same Krishna and Balram here first, and then he sees Krishna and Balram in the chariot, and then he sees again the same Krishna and Balram transform into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and the Sheshanag. So the same place, because before Krishna is going to Mathura, Krishna brings all of the Vrajvasis to that Akrur Ghat, actually near Akrur Ghat, that place where Akrura took bath. That place is also called Brahmariddha, where in Vrindavan we see still now. So that place, Krishna personally brought all the Vrajvasis and made them to take a dip in the water. The first dip, Krishna gave them this Sayujya liberation, gave them this so-called bliss. It's not bliss actually. For a devotee, it's not a bliss, because Sayujya liberation, he made them see what is this Brahman liberation all about. And immediately he took them out of that, And then later, immediately, Krishna then told them to take a dip, and again they were brought to Vaikuntha, wherein they saw beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gardens, beautiful abode of Vaikuntha, where everyone is, non-envious. We heard about how Vaikuntha, but there they don't see Krishna. And they feel some emptiness, that is natural for them when they don't see Krishna. Because first is Brahman liberation, where they saw nothing, Brahman liberation means nothing but, light all over. And then they see Vaikuntha, but they don't see Krishna. So they are feeling completely empty. But then they see in Vaikuntha, there they see Krishna standing there in a threefold bending form. Beautifully, with his flute, with his, Gunja Mala, Vaijanti Mala, with his beautiful turban, with a peacock feather on his head. But there they see Krishna standing, but next to Krishna, they see all the demigods offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. And they are seeing that Krishna is hearing their prayers. And herein, all the coward boys are watching, they see Vaikuntha, because Krishna is showing them what will be their destination. Krishna is showing, because the point coming here is that Krishna wanted to show them, because they had it in heart, that what will be our destination when we leave the body. So Krishna is showing them, but then they see, this Brahman is not, not Brahman, Vaikuntha, nowhere Krishna, but then they see Krishna, Krishna is there. But then again they feel some, inhibition. Krishna is standing there, alone, and then all demigods are offering prayers, and Krishna is also listening to their prayers. And actually, the coward boys, they are saying, oh, let me go and embrace Krishna, but you know, then they are feeling hesitant, oh, how can I go there? And Krishna also is, you know, feeling hesitant to come. And then Nanda Maharaj is thinking, Yashoda Mai might be thinking, you know, oh, what is this, you know, Krishna, who will feed him, you know, who will feed Krishna? Or he is just keep on listening to the prayers of the demigods. Who will feed Krishna? So this is a very simple heart of, you know, the Vrajavasis, you know, including Yashoda Mai. Who will feed Krishna? Who will, you know, take care of Krishna? So all that. So immediately, Krishna, after this, he takes them to take a dip. And then they see Krishna in front of them, because immediately when this vision is gone, they see Krishna in front of them as an ordinary coward boy, playing with them as an ordinary coward boy. Especially in this regard, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur speaks very, very interesting thing, that how he gives an analogy of a rich man. When a rich man, when he knows that he has got so much wealth, and normally a rich man, he has to have a wealth. So when he knows that somehow or other, he comes to know that his wealth is lost, completely lost. He has no wealth with him now anymore. Somehow or other, it has been stolen. But then he comes to know a hint. He gets a hint of it. Oh, your wealth is taken by a thief, but somehow or other, he was killed, and your wealth is at such and such place. So that hint, that such and such hint, no, that such and such place is that. That hint gives him so much relief. And this is just an analogy, which is material analogy, but still Vishnu Chakra is comparing that bliss. He's saying that same thing when Krishna gave them this, you know, Brahman realization, that they could not see Krishna. There was complete emptiness. In Vaikuntha also there were complete emptiness. And then later, when they saw Krishna, they had that wealth. They had lost the wealth. Actually, they had lost Krishna. But then they got the hint immediately that Krishna is there. But for them, the ultimate wealth was when they were with Krishna personally in that same abode wherein Krishna was personally performing pastimes in Vrindavan as an ordinary coward boy. Especially, you know, like Ananda Maharaj is telling Krishna to bring his own chapels, and Yashoda Mai is feeding Krishna personally. So that is the supreme abode which we are talking about today, which Prabhupada is also saying, that supreme abode we should all, you know, meditate on, we should all aspire to go. Because the pure devotees of Lord Krishna, here we see clearly the Vrajavasis, they don't have any other desire other than to see Krishna, not in an opulent mode, you know, even in Vaikuntha, or even they don't want Brahman Sayuja liberation, they don't want Vaikuntha, they don't want anything else. They only want to serve Krishna, they only want to see Krishna as their own lovable object. As we see in the Damodarashtak, clearly stating, I only want to see your beautiful lotus face. Satyavrat Muni is saying very clearly. So that is a destination. Shikshashtaka also we say, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam ma jagadisha kamai. Mama janmani janmani shware bhavatat bhakti rahitu kitvai. That is the ultimate destination. They don't have any other desire other than to serve Krishna, other than to see Krishna. And in that particular mood of reciprocation. And we can definitely achieve that supreme abode if we sincerely take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada's instructions which he is giving through Bhagavad Gita. That is how, especially through this pastime, what we can infer is, if we Krishna wants us to be back in his abode, but provided that we are sincere to go back to his abode. So especially Nanda Maharaj and all the coward men, all the coward boys, he is showing through this very, very beautiful pastime that they don't want, you know, even though Krishna is showing them, you know, the abode, you know, especially Varundev, they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but their love overpowers their, you know, awe and reverence. And that thing which we can really imbibe and follow in their footsteps is, we take that mood that we don't want Sahaja liberation, we don't want, you know, achieve what the highest destination, even the highest destination. We only want to, you know, see the Supreme Lord and serve the Supreme Lord, you know, in the mood of humble servant of the servant of the servant. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I think I have gone beyond time. Are there any comments? If there are any comments or questions? Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.